Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of Legion of News is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric. High atop the milk packing district in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
Congressman Anthony Weiner resigns. Cops raid a marijuana lounge in Aloha. And a guy pees in the Mount Tabor Reservoir.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, pay heed, for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Thursday, June 16th, 2011. Well, a police narcotics team raided the Wake and Bake Cannabis Lounge in Aloha. Investigators seized marijuana and other evidence for their case, but no arrests were made. Properties associated with the medical marijuana dispensary were also raided. The business opened last November. It charges a fee for people to become members and then distributes marijuana. Police did not shut down the lounge after they raided it. Again, that would, if you're in Aloha, you can no longer go to the Wake and Bake Cannabis Lounge.
On the other hand, you are still in Aloha, so it seems like it's a problem that's going to work itself out pretty easily.
I can't understand why the police might think that was not like a medical marijuana clinic sort of a thing.
Yeah, you've lived in California. Like, you know how it goes. You see those medical marijuana facilities, and it's just they've got the huge, like, swirly font and the big hemp leaf in the background, and the doctor's got, like, that has got, like, crazy hypno eyes in the ad. He's going, "Do you need relief from cancer?"
And their logo has, like, a big, happy, dancing, you know, marijuana cigarette with googly eyes.
Yeah, it's not like that that sort of thing is the hallmark of upright advertising.
Amid taunts and jeering and some cheers, embattled New York Congressman Anthony Weiner resigned his House seat today. Weiner explained why he made the decision to step down 3 weeks after a sexting scandal exploded on him.
"So my colleagues can get back to work, my neighbors can choose a new representative, and most importantly, that my wife and I can continue to heal from the damage I have caused."
That's the stern guy still screaming about whether he was fully erect.
Yes.
Awesome.
He reluctantly announced his resignation at an afternoon press conference in his home district in Brooklyn.
"I had hoped to be able to continue the work that the citizens of my district elected me to do, to fight for the middle class and those struggling to make it. Unfortunately, the distraction that I have created has made that impossible."
Sounds like he was struggling to make it, all right.
Ah.
Hey now, the bone. Sorry.
This woman lives in Weiner's district, and she says it's a shame it had to turn out this way.
"For his constituents, it's a tragedy. It really is. You wonder if he hit his head somewhere. I don't know what happened to him."
This woman says it's probably for the best that he steps down.
That's wonderful.
I really liked him, but he's not quite... There's something wrong with him.
That's fantastic.
There you go.
Excellent. I want that woman to do all the observations on everything we have until the end of time.
God. A portion of the Mount Tabor Reservoir had to be drained Wednesday morning when a 21-year-old Malala man admitted to urinating in the water. His relief forced the city to take the key water supply offline. Said David Schaff with the Portland Water Bureau pointed to a grainy surveillance video and said, "Here comes our friend right here." That's what happened last night. Somebody did something really stupid. The video clearly shows Joshua Cedar unzipping his pants and urinating in reservoir number one around 1:30 on Wednesday morning. As soon as security spotted him, they shut down the water supply. Cedar says, "I had a pleasant buzz and I should have known better. It was a split second thing, and as soon as I was done, I was like, oh man, and I saw the police officer show up. I knew exactly what they were here for.
Maybe I shouldn't have whizzed in that thing."
Yeah. The Water Bureau decided to drain 8 million gallons of water, which will cost the taxpayers $32,700.
This is 8 million gallons of water. How much do you think the average guy can probably pee?
I know.
I mean, it's gross and all, but I mean, this is the Mount Tabor Reservoir?
Yeah.
Okay.
Isn't that the one that's not even covered?
There's no top on it, which means that, like, birds and animals and whatnot pee in that thing all the time.
Yeah.
Also, I think they fished a dead hobo out of it a couple years ago.
Yeah, I think they cleaned it after they fished out the hobo.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but to equate the two things, to say 180 pounds of dead hobo and, like, 5 ounces of whiz are the same thing.
Yeah.
You know? Plus, as I've noted before, you drink water out of the tap, you're drinking whiz anyway.
Well,
all recycled.
Cedar said, "I wouldn't mind paying for it, but I don't have a job right now. I'm willing to do community service to clean up the place because I feel bad and feel pretty stupid."
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, then. Well, what are you going to say? You're walking around. You're a little bit lit anyway. You get a whiz. It's at night. You don't know where else you're going to go. Also, there was somebody else who was, like, beaten savagely outside one of the public restrooms at that place the other day. There was a woman who was jogging through Mount Tabor, went in to use the bathroom, and came out, and some guy gave her what for with the blunt end of a knife. So, you know, maybe you want to stay out in public where you're not going to be assaulted somehow. You look over, there's a huge, sparkling reservoir of water, which immediately triggers your need to, your need to void. So...
Yeah. I'll just add a little more water to all of that water.
I mean, that's the thing, is you whiz on the grass, you're going to kill the grass. This at least doesn't have that effect. I mean, it seems like maybe we're just... But see, as soon as I say that we're just overreacted the entire thing, then it suddenly becomes open season for every guy just to go empty his... Empty his junk into the water. And then, you know...
People go, "Well, I guess they don't mind us peeing into it."
And I'm not sure whether I drink that water or not. That's the other thing, is I don't really even know where that Mount Tabor Reservoir... Like, where it feeds into.
Yeah.
I mean, the Mount Tabor area, I guess, obviously, but maybe not. I don't really know. I have no idea how the reservoir works. And also, here's the other thing. When they call it a reservoir, does that mean we're not using it? Like, it's a backup?
No, it just means that it's a place where all the water sits and waits to go out to the people.
Well, I know it's a place where the water sits, but I mean, it's not like backup water.
No.
Where does that water come from?
I don't know.
Okay. Because, I mean, it's sitting there, but I don't see anything feeding into it.
Well, that is the chlorinated water that is waiting to get sent out. So, yeah, it comes from somewhere, and it's filtered and chlorinated before it goes to the reservoir, and then it goes from the reservoir out to people. So, which also makes it seem weird that it's not covered, but, you know.
Well, and also, why would they bother to chlorinate it there? Why wouldn't they chlorinate it later on down the line somewhere?
Because that's the last stop.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, why wouldn't they make Mount Tabor Reservoir, which is uncovered, not the last stop? And then you chlorinate it at the same time. It'd be
you would need yet another reservoir to put it after it was chlorinated.
No. But I'm saying, when you're building them, why wouldn't you build the one that's going to have the chlorinated water with the top on top of it?
Well, I believe that's why a lot of people have said that they would like... Well, and by people, I mean people, companies that build covers for reservoirs.
It just makes...
Have lobbied the city really, really hard to get us to spend millions of dollars to cover.
It'd be like selling bottled water at Safeway, but instead of having bottles of water, you just have a huge trough and you come by and ladle it into your mouths.
Kind of, yes.
Which is a thing I don't think I would want. Mm. All right. Here's Don Taylor at the News Desk. By the way, you are listening to Legion of News. If you want to get this via iTunes, you can do that later on the day. It's also available as a direct MP3 download here at Cascadia.fm or Legion of News. cascadia.fm mobile.cascadia.fm. You can also take it with you on your mobile device if you like it. It's mobile.cascadia.fm, mobile.cascadia.fm. Later on this hour, entertainment news, also Science on the March. Coming up next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program at rickemersonshow.com, where you can be entertained for the low, low cost of just 32 cents a day. That is coming up next hour at rickemersonshow.com. Here is Don Taylor.
The Boston Bruins had barely finished their 4-0 shellacking of the hometown Canucks in the deciding game of the NHL Stanley Cup Finals.
Canucks sound like a slur.
It does sound like a slur. It's like calling, you know, like saying engines, isn't it?
If you were calling somebody from Eastern Europe a Canuck, they would look at you slant-eyed.
Anyway,
so to speak.
They had just finished beating the Canucks in their home turf in the NHL Stanley Cup Finals when rioting broke out in the streets of Vancouver yesterday. There were multiple stabbings, several cars were set on fire, and widespread looting in the downtown core of a city deemed the world's most livable earlier this year.
You don't really... This is where?
Vancouver, Canada?
Yeah, so you don't really expect that kind of behavior in anywhere, Canada.
No.
Anything that ends in Canada, you just sort of expect that everybody's sort of walking along going...
Hockey fans, what can you do? At least one person is in critical condition. Roughly 140 people were treated at a hospital, according to the Globe and Mail. The paper reports that Vancouver police used tear gas to disperse the angry crowd, the first time they had done that since 1994, which was the last time the Canucks lost a Stanley Cup game in Game 7. The city's downtown had been flooded with people for previous games this playoff season, but things had remained peaceful because, you know, they were winning. Police had emphasized leading up to Wednesday's game that they learned from the 1994 riots how to control crowds. The city was also the site of the 2010 Winter Olympics, which saw some property destruction, but nothing on par with Wednesday's carnage.
Which we will call Black Wednesday forevermore.
The Canucks dominated the NHL for much of the 2010-2011 season, and a columnist at the Toronto Star described the riots as an extension of the, quote, strange mentality in Vancouver that the NHL is out to get the Canucks and to deny them their rightful victories.
Is this really what's going to happen? This is what's going to trigger the Canadian uprising. That is inevitable. This is really what's this is going to be the instigating incident.
Yes.
Okay. It's like I just imagined the baby elephant walk underscores everything Canada does and everything Canadians do all the time. And plus, you figure, here's the other thing about Canada. You know, everybody either knows within themselves or knows somebody who has a sort of a chart, a hierarchy, a flowchart of drunkenness where you start off and you're maybe a little buzzed and then you're kind of loopy and then you're happy and then you're a little cranky and then you're pissed off and then you're punching everybody in the face. And I just picture all of Canada being in this sort of happy, loopy buzz part of the drunkenness, that place in the flowchart all the time. You don't really think of them becoming sort of belligerently drunk as a people, and yet
no. I remember being in Canada, and I was traveling with my mom, and we were in Victoria, I think. I can't remember, but it might have been Vancouver. And I saw a poster. Coincidentally, I saw a poster for a friend's band that was playing. I had no idea that they were driving around and doing Canada. So I thought, I'm going to go see this band. So about the time. A little bit before they were going to play, I went down to the lobby and I told the concierge or the front desk clerk or whatever at the lobby that I needed a taxi because I needed to find this hotel, this club. He said, "Oh, where are you going?" And I told him the name of the club. Oh, it's like the Purple Elephant. It was a something elephant. And I gave him the address and he looked at me and in this completely like just totally Canadian sort of way, he said, "Oh, you don't want to go there.
That's
a bad part of town." You know, and then I went there and it was like going to I don't know, like Northwest 23rd Street here in Portland or something. You know, their idea of a bad part of town.
It was in the hardscrabble streets of Victoria.
Yes. Yeah. A 38-year-old British man tore off most of his middle finger after downing several pints and aiming a shotgun at it. He was later arrested for possession of an illegal firearm. Sean Murphy, however, walked free from court yesterday when a judge took pity on him after hearing how he had been troubled by the ugly wart on his finger for more than 5 years. Doncaster Magistrates Court was told how Murphy had been to see his general practitioner and tried several creams, but nothing could get rid of the wart. Fearing he would be stuck with it forever, Murphy, who was living in a camper van, picked up the 12-bore Beretta shotgun and shot his finger off. He said, "It was hurting a lot and causing my finger to bend. It was as big as my thumbnail. I'd been to the doctors with it and tried all sorts of things, but it wouldn't go. I didn't expect to lose my finger as well when I shot it. But the gun recoiled, and that was it. The wart was gone, and so was most of my finger.
Let me understand this. So he was using a shotgun to remove a wart.
Yes.
A wart is what we call very, very small.
Well, he said that it was a huge wart, though. It was like the size of his thumbnail. And that creams and doctor's visits had
Well, that's still not shotgun big.
Well, no, I'm not suggesting that what he did was an intelligent medical decision.
It's like fish scaler big.
No, yeah, that's like you pull out, you know, your Swiss Army knife.
A pen knife.
Hack at it, yes.
You hack at it.
yesterday he declared he was happy that he was not arrested for anything. He received a 16-week suspended prison sentence. He said, I know I could have gone to jail for up to 15 years for a firearms offense, because, again, this was in Britain.
Yeah.
My solicitor did a good job. The best thing is the wart is gone. It was giving me a lot of trouble.
So, which finger was this?
It was his middle finger.
On one of his hands?
Yeah.
How did he manage to take off his middle finger with a shotgun without taking off the fingers on either side, is my question.
That I don't know. He said he had found the gun. They wanted to know about him.
He found it.
Well,
some guy gave it to me.
No, the thing is that he was, the arrest was for possession of an illegal firearm, and he had an unregistered shotgun.
Right, but...
And he said he found it in a hedge near the nursery where he works 3 months earlier, and it held on to it because, you know, hey, free shotgun. And then the police discovered it was stolen in a burglary in 2009, and he said he had no knowledge of the burglary. They believed that he had found it in a hedge. But the defense solicitor said, it was a most strange case. Mr. Murphy has been a victim of his own stupidity.
Okay.
So.
Well, I guess you want a wart gone, you want a wart gone.
Yes.
I'm going to hand you this sound right here.
Oh,
Special bonus, there's news from... A little bit of audio from Nancy Grace, because I know you love her so.
I do.
By the way, I'm looking at a picture of this guy, and he does look like the sort of guy who was really troubled by a wart. He seems unhappy. He seems like the wart has probably just been a figurative cross that he has been carrying down the road of his life, lo, these many years. So,
well, you know, I think
good for him.
We've all had that at some point in our lives, haven't we? You have some kind of a weird thing on your body, and you're just like... really, really, really annoyed about it to the point where you just decide you're going to go at it with like an X-Acto blade or something?
Maybe my body's different from most, but no.
Oh.
No, I've never had that. My sister had the thing where she had, she wasn't all warty, like head to toe, but she had two warts on the inside of one of her middle fingers, and she kept doing that. Maybe it was like a 70s or 80s thing. Maybe technology hadn't really come along, where they kept trying all these different methods. Like there was one where they were like burn it off. And there's one where they, like, froze it off. Or they, like, froze it and then they hit it with a hammer and it shattered or whatever it is you do, you know? The best part of that entire procedure for her was, like, after they would burn her wart off, for example, she would then come home and she would then, like, rub the burny part against the side of my face while holding me down on the floor. She would hold her hand behind her back and she would say in a crafty voice that I never quite was able to identify until it was too late. She would say, "Guess what I've got for you?" And I would think, is it a piece of candy or perhaps a shiny toy? And no, she would then pin me down on the floor and then just take like the burned off part of her warty hand and go and rub it against my face and go, "It's a wart."
I'm so often so glad that I was an only child.
Yeah. Yeah, you really don't miss out.
There are reasons that I was always really sad for being an only child, but I hear stories like that and no one ever did that to me.
No, it's really one of the rare joys of having many, many siblings. Here's Don Taylor at the news desk.
A U.S. counterterrorism official tells CNN that the U.S. believes Ayman al-Zawahiri is now the leader of al-Qaeda. Former CIA agent Mike Baker doubts Zawahiri will run things much differently than Osama bin Laden.
We're not going to see some wavering at the top of al-Qaeda as to whether they should perhaps, you know, come to a kinder, gentler version of their previous selves.
Because we all thought that was going to be the case.
Well, and they have, like, a corporate manual. I mean, you know, the rules have all been laid out. Baker says Zawahiri has some notable differences from Osama bin Laden.
He's not going to be looked at as sort of the morale booster, the individual who blesses all activity or potential operations. More of a thinker and a sort of a process guy.
He's just making all this up. He has no idea what he's talking about. I'm just picturing a huge sign that's like al-Qaeda, now under new management, sort of flapping in the breeze.
Yeah, so here he's not the kind for the corporate theme songs.
No.
And the getaway weekends where they can like do team building exercises. You know, he's more of an idea man.
He's a big picture guy.
He's a big picture guy.
Yeah. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget, coming up later on this hour, the Science on the March portion of our program, also entertainment news, and next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program, during which we will have a Hick Watch and a Corpse Watch. That is on the way.
Yes.
Next hour at RickEmersonShow.com.
And an exciting update on things Dawn finds in her new apartment that tell her a little bit about the previous tenants.
Fantastic. Let's see. That is all coming up next hour at RickEmersonShow.com. Here is Dawn Taylor.
Bank of America sent out warning letters to 5,000 Oregonians mistakenly claiming property taxes were overdue and that the homeowners might be risking foreclosure. As first reported in the Oregonian, Bank of America apologized to customers who received the letters, which would have come from BAC Tax Services Corporation, part of the bank's home loan division. Residents in 14 counties were affected. Representative Brittany Sheehan said, these letters went only to customers who pay their property taxes in three installments. The third installment payment was due in April, but did not become delinquent until May 16th. She said the company's system showed the payments were delinquent when they actually were not. Bank of America sincerely apologizes to those who received the letter in error, and we are in the process of notifying applicable counties and affected customers. And then, you know, you can call, if you got one and you think you shouldn't, you can call Bank of America and bitch at them about it.
And kvetch. Yes. By the way, just a touch back on something we were addressing at the top of the show about the reservoir. Apparently the reason that the urination is a problem is because the reservoirs are not filtered. Because why would you want to, cover it, don't cover it. Wouldn't you at least want to have a little grate or a screen or something right before it comes out into, you know, like my faucet, which it does, apparently. So, I guess not. I guess they just used up all the money building the thing, and then they had no money left. It's like the Death Star. They can't find sufficient wire grating just to cover that exhaust port at the very end. They just leave it open. Fine. Whatever.
A 49-year-old Florida man said $4,800 was gone when he woke up from a night with a younger person he had contacted via the internet. Also gone was the 34-year-old man he had connected with online, although the younger man left his, quote, women's clothing, lingerie, makeup, and wig in the bathroom.
What do you mean, a younger person he had met online?
Well,
is this somebody was humping?
The 49-year-old man who was robbed made contact with a young fellow on the internet. According to the police report, the man stated he did not wish to divulge the details of their night together. However, the next morning, the money was gone, but left behind was the young man's women's clothing, lingerie, makeup, and wig.
So he hooked up with a transvestite?
Yes.
Okay.
The 49-year-old man said he fell asleep at 3 a.m., and the younger man was still on the computer. The 49-year-old man said he had $4,800 in his shorts. He woke about 7 a.m., and the 34-year-old man and the $4,800 were gone. He also stated that the younger man had left his women's clothing, lingerie, makeup, and wig in the bathroom. The inventory of the lingerie, clothing, etc. wasn't listed in the report. But while the website through which the 49-year-old man apparently contacted the younger man was redacted. So I guess they were trying to, I don't know why they're giving this guy all this privacy. But anyway, sheriff's investigators interviewed a woman who said she's the younger man's girlfriend before speaking with the man. He said he went to the older man's home to hang out and left about 3 a.m. after watching TV. He denied taking any money and says he left because the older man was passed out drunk and didn't want him to drive.
And so were they at the guy's house or they were at a hotel? Or
I guess he was at his house.
Okay, this is what motels are made for.
Yeah.
Specifically, this is what low-rent motels are made for. Don't ever just bring the strange transvestite back to your house.
No.
No, that's
And also, $4,800 just in your shorts? Really?
Well, especially because figure that's the first place the transvestite was looking. Any number of reasons.
You got a stranger coming to your house and you're just walking around with $4,800 in cash in your pants?
I don't understand how he was keeping $5,000 in his shorts, though. I mean, are we talking shorts like boxers or are we talking shorts like he was wearing cargo
shorts? They could have been cargo shorts.
Still, why would he have $5,000 in his pants?
I don't know.
I mean, it seems like that's you know, even if you're not going to put it in the bank, there's like a drawer maybe over there or a cupboard under your mattress, under the acorn tree out back. Why in your pants?
A cereal box.
Yeah, I mean, even if you figure you're just going to be paying the guy for some sort of favor later on in the night, you're not going to give him the $5,000 all at once. You start at like $500 and then you haggle.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm just saying. All right.
It seems like, and correct me if I'm not saying this right, he planned poorly.
Well, it seems like he planned poorly, or it seems like he did any number of things poorly, actually.
Yeah.
Seems that there's a lot of places in this story where he had the option of doing one thing, and he chose not only not that thing, but the worst possible other thing to do. So, really, I had to. It sounds like really the way to go in this life is just to is really just to focus your entire business on just hustling idiots over the internet. Wait a minute. Hey, the Rick Emerson Show next hour at rickemersonshow.com. Yours for just 32 cents a day, friends and neighbors. A pittance, if I do say so myself.
You probably have that in your shorts right now.
Honestly, and you really do. Let's be honest. There's just no getting around that. Here is Dawn Taylor at the news desk.
Construction permits for new home construction went up to their highest rate in 5 months. However, economist Robert Denk with the National Association of Home Builders says it's still not a very happy time for them.
While these numbers are up slightly...
I am looking in your window at night while you sleep.
Oh.
While these numbers are up slightly from last month, I think the more important point is that we are still stuck at basically historically low levels of housing production.
Tell Melvin Belli that Zodiac wants to talk with him.
Oh, Robert Denk. Denk says... And I don't think you'll be surprised by this. There's not much to celebrate.
While these numbers are up marginally this month over last month, it really doesn't represent a tremendous improvement. We've had just a lot of difficulty gaining any traction in terms of a housing market recovery.
Are you about a size 14? Okay.
Wow.
That's wonderful.
He sounded very creepy.
Yeah, he really did.
It didn't even matter what he had to say. He just sounded creepy.
While these numbers are...
I'm going to call your cell phone tonight and just put that message on there.
God, don't. Would you play us into science news?
Sure. Here's your Science in the March, brought to you by Squires Electric. You can find them at 503-252-1609 or squireselectric.com. They are licensed, bonded, and insured electrical installers, contractors, and supervisors. Most importantly, they don't sound like this guy.
While these numbers are up slightly from...
Who does? If somebody knows, sound like Frank Black from Millennium. Looking into the heart of the abyss and the beast of chaos. Squires Electric can come to your home or business or your home business, and they can make sure that everything is running properly, working properly, and that if it needs to be upgraded, installed, or repaired, they can take care of that as well. We have many satisfied listeners and just plain people who have used their services. You can find out more about that at facebook.com/Squires Electric. While you're there, be sure to hit like if you would, and you can read all about some of the things that they have done up to and including doing all three stories of a condominium that they had to, that was being built from scratch. We also have listeners who've taken over businesses, or they've moved their business from one building to another. They get there, they got to find out, they got to clear out the entire thing and then rewire it all from top to bottom. Squires Electric can handle that, or if it's just something like fixing the fuse box or the breaker panel thing, whatever it is, that thing in the basement that's got the black switches you flip back and forth, and then you never pick the right room, and so you end up turning everything else up in the house.
The breaker box.
Yeah, and you pick the wrong room, and then you go up there, and everything's just blinking at you because you've managed to reset it all. All the clocks, are suddenly wrong again. They can do all of that correctly, and they can minimize your embarrassment, also your chance of, death. So that is SquiresElectric.com or Facebook.com/SquiresElectric, proud sponsors of this, your science on the march.
Japanese whalers caught two animals along the northern coast that had traces of radiation, presumably from leaks at a damaged nuclear power plant, officials said Wednesday. Two of 17 minke whales caught off to the Pacific coast of Hokkaido showed traces of radioactive cesium, both about 1/20th of the legal limit. They are the first whales thought to have been affected by radiation leaked from the Daiichi nuclear plant since it was hit by a March 11th earthquake and tsunami. Fisheries Agency official Kosei Takakoshi said the levels are far below the limit and the meat from the catch is safe for consumption.
That seems unbelievable.
So it's okay to eat radioactive whales, says Japan.
Well, really, is there a whale that Japan doesn't think it's okay to eat?
One of the minkes had a cesium rating of 31 becquerels per kilogram, and the other 24.3 becquerels.
There's no becquerel. They're making that up. That's a brand new measurement they've come up with, just to cover their tracks.
Well, this was compared to the legal limit of 500 becquerels per kilogram for highly migratory marine products.
Okay.
They actually call them migratory marine products.
Not whales.
By the way. The 17 whales were caught off the shores of Kushiro City, the main coastal whaling hub, during an April 25th to June 10th expedition. The agency has not previously surveyed radiation in whales, so no comparison is available before and after the Fukushima crisis. So as far as they know, the whales could have been radiated all along.
By the way, somebody says, what meat? I thought the Japanese whalers were doing it for science.
Delicious, delicious science.
Yeah.
Chinese authorities have allegedly been spying on Hong Kong motorists with a device installed on thousands of vehicles, which contain hardware suitable for eavesdropping.
Is the device called a camera?
Yes. According to a report in Hong Kong newspaper Apple Daily, recording devices were installed as inspection and quarantine cards in 2007. The devices, which are about the size of a BlackBerry and are taped to the vehicle's front windows, were installed free of charge by the Shenzhen Inspection and Quarantine Bureau to streamline inspection status checks at border crossings. However, when Apple Daily took the device to Zheng Dawei, a private investigator, and Zheng Limin, an associate professor of electrical engineering in Hong Kong, both confirmed the device's potential for espionage. They said that much cheaper chips could be used to check inspection status for simple border crossings, but this device uses chips commonly found in Bluetooth and voice recording devices designed for receiving voice transmission. Liming says that the listening range is extensive. The signal receiving range is up to 20 kilometers, which means if the device installer wants to, they can listen even when the vehicles are in Hong Kong.
Okay.
So, unsurprisingly, the first people to notice something odd about these devices that had been installed in their cars, smugglers. They kind of noticed that suddenly mainland authorities were demonstrating unreal accuracy at picking off smugglers.
It was almost like they knew where we were going to be at any moment.
It's
it was
almost
astounding.
Like they could hear us talking about it in our cars.
Awesome.
Wait a minute. What's that black thing taped to the dashboard?
Beep, beep, beep.
Wireless electrical medical devices are getting sleeker and smarter, but their security and privacy features are lagging behind. Security experts showed on Tuesday that an insulin system consisting of a wireless insulin pump in combination with a glucose monitor, one that is worn by hundreds of thousands of diabetics in the U.S., is vulnerable to hacking. Using off-the-shelf hardware, the user manual, and publicly available information, the scientists tapped into information on the system, like insulin dosage and glucose readings. With the PIN access code of the device, they showed that they could also wirelessly control the dosage of insulin. Though wireless security is a well-trodden path when it comes to cell phones and home routers, tackling the issue for a medical device is a whole different ballgame. Anand Raghavan, one of the lead researchers, said, "Not all security solutions will carry over to medical devices. That's where the innovative thinking needs to be."
I'm just picturing the guy just clutching his... Too many lulls!
Oh, and you know the people like over at like CSI are just like jotting down their ideas for a script on this right now. You mean you can just kill a guy by hacking into his insulin pump? That's awesome!
By the way, somebody, okay, so that everybody immediately went right to the lulls thing. Which and Seamus made the best reference of all, which is, you know, like, because of the rerouting thing they did with magnets.com. We have rerouted all your phone calls to this guy's insulin doser. Ah, it's wonderful. That's great. Excellent. Did I tell you that after they rerouted all the calls to magnets.com, they then routed all the calls to the World of Warcraft tech support line?
Yes.
Ah, it's wonderful. It's a good time to be alive.
And then they just completely shut down, I guess, a CIA server that was only prepared to deal with sort of modest, moderate amounts of traffic. And it got so much that it just went and just fell over and burst into flames.
Excellent.
That's all the science.
There's your Science of the March, brought to you by Squires Electric at squireselectric.com or facebook.com/squireselectric. You can also find them at 503-252-1609. That is Squires Electric, proud sponsors of this, your Science on the March. Here is Dawn Taylor at the news desk.
The defense will begin presenting its case Thursday in the capital murder case of Casey Anthony. Anthony's defense has relied heavily on accusations of their own that Casey was abused by her father, George Anthony. They claim he disposed of the body of his 3-year-old granddaughter, Kaylee, after she drowned in a backyard pool. But HLN's Nancy Gray says Casey's lawyers may have painted themselves into a corner with these claims.
I so regret picking these Nancy Grace cuts.
Now they've taken...
It's just like being stabbed in the ears with an ice pick. Oh, man.
All right, I'll try this again. I reserve the right just to cut this off if it just...
Now, they've taken on a practical burden, not a legal burden, a practical burden to prove that to the jury. The only way I can think of for them to prove that, if they still want to, is by putting Top Mom on the stand.
Top Mom?
Top Mom. It's an exciting new reality show that Nancy Grace is going to be running.
Anthony must take the stand, but the prosecution may have succeeded in chiseling away her credibility.
I heard it myself. She says, OMG, I'm such a great liar. That came out in front of the jury. They've seen reams of videotapes of her lying like no other liar I've ever seen. So how will they believe her?
You know what she's like? She's like an angrier female, much hotter Charles Grodin. If you remember seeing Charles Grodin at all when he had his show during the OJ
yes.
case, it was like you just expected his head to fall off at certain points. He was just so angry about the entire thing.
OMG.
Somebody says, the real shame of the Casey Anthony thing is that she's kind of smoking hot. Such a waste to spend life behind bars. They should just sentence her to being someone's love slave. By the way, I should note that... I should know that was Seamus who typed that. And so I think the implication when he says someone's love slave, I think that someone may reside inside the great state of Colorado territory. But I don't know. I can't necessarily.
Now I have this whole thing in my head of Seamus sitting in his giant beanbag chair and Nancy Grace, like in her slave Leah costume,
please,
kneeling at his feet.
Yeah, don't. You shouldn't say that. By the way, I'm looking at this picture of Casey Anthony, in which she appears to be naked, but then literally, I'm saying literally wrapped in an American flag. So yeah, she's all class. All right. Here's Don Taylor.
Fairfax County, which is that Washington, D.C.? Is that
yes? Yeah. Well, it's Virginia.
Virginia, Fairfax County Police checkpoint. There were lawsuits after car crashes. There are lawsuits after car crashes, and that's fairly common there. But in a Fairfax County courthouse, a lawsuit about a crash on the Beltway last year is dropping a few jaws as it makes the rounds and heads towards trial next week. Among the latest allegations in the lawsuit pending in Fairfax County Court, and these are all directly from the lawsuit, from paragraph 10, at the time of the collision, defendant was going 85 miles an hour. At the time of the collision, defendant was having sex with a female. At the time of the collision, defendant was driving admittedly drunk. At the time of the accident, defendant was partially or totally in the back seat of the car.
I don't understand.
No one understands.
Okay.
Records show the defendant from Woodbridge was convicted in Fairfax District Court of drunken driving near Telegraph Road in May 2010, but now he denies that he was driving. He was coming from his 21st birthday party in Baltimore. The woman involved has been dismissed from the case. There was someone else in the car, too, but he denies driving as well. So the defendant's lawyer said that there was no statement by anyone that they were driving on the Beltway having sex and no facts in it. The plaintiff is seeking $75,000 in damages. But Stevens sought punitive damages against the defendant and a friend, arguing in a pleading that having sex at 85 miles per hour while drunk on a freeway is willful and wanton negligence. The Fairfax judge threw out the punitive damages claim, but it's still unclear how
the car was being driven.
How he was going 85 miles an hour while having sex in partially or totally in the back seat.
And who's the woman involved? Do we know who that is?
No, she was dismissed from the case. I guess she wasn't.
Nobody of interest?
No, and then apparently there was somebody else there, but he says he wasn't driving either.
So are you just picturing this guy, like, in the back seat, just getting his knob polished, but he's got, like, a broom handle.
Yeah.
So he can keep the accelerator pressed down. And then the other guy is maybe steering the car, maybe not driving as such, but maybe he has a hand on the wheel.
And watching.
And watching.
Or something. I don't know.
Okay. I don't know how that would work. Yeah. And so this all comes from the report of the cops?
Yeah, this is from the lawsuit. This is directly from the lawsuit that they filed, because he's appealing his conviction
his
for
conviction.
Drunk driving. Because he's saying, I wasn't driving.
Okay.
So, yeah. We don't know.
Okay. Well, that's something we should follow as
okay.
a
yeah. Newt Gingrich's floundering presidential bid may have run into more problems. ABC News reports that the former House Speaker's tax-exempt charity paid $220,000 to one of his for-profit companies, Gingrich Communications, buying cases of books and DVDs produced by another one of his companies, Gingrich Productions.
Sounds like his name ought to be Newt. Get rich. Ha ha! In the bone.
The charity... That It's just never not funny.
No, it's not.
All night last night, by the way, I kept going, it's Wiener Wednesday. And Patrick just kept telling me to shut up. But Patrick, it's Wiener Wednesday. Because, you know, Anthony Wiener.
Right.
You got to explain it afterwards so people know. The charity in question is Renewing American Leadership, an organization that Gingrich founded to promote faith, family, freedom, and free enterprise, according to the group's website. The allegations, if true, do not necessarily represent a violation of the law, but a government watchdog told ABC that they would come dangerously close to crossing the line that's supposed to separate charitable work from politics and for-profit business.
So this is a sort of a, it's just barely legal kind
of
a thing.
Yeah, just barely legal for his tax-exempt charity to pay $220,000 to one of his companies to buy books and CDs that were produced by another one of his companies.
Okay. So. That is what the British legal system would call a transparent falsehood, I believe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's see. I have something good here, I know. I have so many good things, I don't know what to do. Police say a University of New Mexico football player's baggy pants led to his arrest at San Francisco International Airport. Sergeant Michael Rodriguez said 20-year-old Deshaun Marmon was boarding a flight Wednesday to Albuquerque, New Mexico, when a U.S. Airways employee noticed his pants were, quote, below his buttocks but above his knees, and his boxer shorts were showing. Rodriguez told the San Francisco Chronicle that the airline employee asked Marmon to pull up his pants, but he refused. She then asked him to leave the plane. The officer said that after 15 minutes, Marmon got off the plane and was then cited for trespassing. Marmon's mother, Donna Doyle, told the paper her son had attended a friend's funeral and was still in an emotionally raw state.
Wait a minute. So what did they find? He wasn't carrying anything or smuggling anything, was he?
No, he was just wearing pants that were like, you know, below his ass. With his boxer shorts hanging.
Since when are stewardesses, like, in charge of fashion?
Well, apparently there is an airline dress code. They can kick people off for indecent exposure or inappropriate attire.
Except it's not indecent exposure, because you'd be allowed to go on the plane if you were wearing... If you were just wearing, like shorts, you'd be allowed to go on the plane.
Yeah.
You know, like Bermuda shorts, or even shorter than that. If you were just wearing... If you were wearing, like, gym shorts, they'd let you on the plane.
Probably.
And so let's be honest, this is just an idiot white woman deciding to impose her fashion sense on some guy.
Really, probably it is.
So,
I mean, on the one hand, I kind of like seeing guys who dress like that get what for just because it's idiotic. On the other hand, no, you don't get to just kick people off of planes because you don't like what they're wearing.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like somebody nails it right here. He wasn't arrested because of clothing. He was arrested for not obeying authority, and a stewardess at that. It's not even real authority. It's a stewardess.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the thing. It's just someone, you give a little person a little power, and suddenly they think they're powerful. I mean, that is exactly what is happening here.
Yes.
And I'm willing to bet, by the way, if we look through Don's back pages, we'd be able to find any number of clothing options and choices that you
please.
Made
oh, yes.
that were terrible. Not unlike myself, not unlike everybody.
Oh, so. I have photos of me wearing things with huge shoulder pads.
Yeah.
The 80s were ugly.
You know, and hey, if I had the ass for it, I'd probably expose mine more often, you know, as well. So what are you drinking? Oh, my God. What is that? Is that an energy drink with a golfer on the front of it?
No, it's an Arnold Palmer. It's half iced tea and half lemonade. And it has, a big picture of Arnold Palmer.
Okay,
on
but
it.
So it is an energy drink with a golfer on it.
Well, it's not an energy drink. It's just iced tea and lemonade.
Okay, well, it's a caffeinated. It's a caffeinated beverage.
Yes.
What is the name of the beverage?
Please
don't tell me it's just called Arnold Palmer.
Yeah, because that's what an Arnold Palmer is. It's half lemonade and half iced tea. He popularized it. And then you can go places and ask for. You can go to a restaurant, say, and order an Arnold Palmer, and it's half iced tea and half.
Do you find it difficult to say Arnold Palmer?
I do have it. It's hard to say Arnold Palmer.
All right.
And there's pictures down the side of him from his glory days of golf.
That's really weird.
I had no idea.
First of all, I had no idea that I guess I never
it's
really
from
considered
the Arizona Beverage Company.
I didn't think. I guess I wasn't aware that that people would actually mix iced tea and lemonade.
Hmm.
I figured, you know, iced tea with lemon, sure, or sugar, which is ends up being kind of the same thing. But I didn't know that was an actual like a quantified drink. Hmm. Also, I never would have. And it's huge. It's like 70 ounces.
It's 23 ounces. It's a big can.
God damn. And just drinking something with a picture of a golf guy in the front of it.
Yeah, an old black and white picture of Arnold Palmer.
That's just odd. All right. Let's see. It is legionofnews.com. That is what you were listening to right now here at Cascadia.fm. Coming up next hour at RickEmersonShow.com, the Rick Emerson Cavalcade of Whimsy, today featuring a Hick Watch and a Corpse Watch, and more adventures at Dawn's House of Mystery.
Yes.
This is all true. Don't forget, you can get this program later on the day if you like at iTunes, also as a direct MP3 download here, or at legionofnews.com. We should also say that we are welcoming today a brand new subscriber to the Rick Emerson Show, Sammy Peterson. Sammy Peterson of Happy Valley, Oregon, becomes a new listener to the new extended member of the Rick Emerson family.
Welcome, Sammy.
Which doesn't mean you can, like, borrow money and come crash on my hide-a-bed or anything.
No.
That's Sammy Peterson listening as of today. Don't forget, you too can join for just 32 cents a day, and your first week there is free. Here is Don Taylor at the news desk.
Two girls would have some splaining to do to their mothers had they been caught stealing a pregnancy test from a Rite Aid in Millville, let's say Ohio, because that sounds like a good place for Millville to be. A pharmacist at the store said he had seen the two stroll out of the pregnancy test aisle and make a beeline for the bathroom. He described them as black females between the ages of 17 and 20 and said one of them was wearing a long-sleeved pink shirt and black shorts, while the other was wearing a pink T-shirt and white shorts. The pharmacist also needed to use the restroom a short while later and went to the men's room. He opened the door and, to his surprise, found the two girls standing in the bathroom, one of them holding the pregnancy test. The pharmacist checked with the cashier and discovered that, yes, the girls had not paid for the pregnancy test. He returned to confront the girls, but they had already left the store, leaving only an empty pregnancy test box in the bathroom.
I wonder how often that happens. My guess is very, very often. Because you never, I mean, of course they haven't paid for it. You don't know if you're going to need to start putting money away, like, you know, now.
I mean, it's also, why the men's room instead of the ladies' room? Why not just steal it and then leave and go do it somewhere else, like not actually in the Rite Aid?
I don't know. You know, I was at a Walgreens the other day, and I didn't realize they sold not just pregnancy tests, but gender prediction tests.
Oh.
Which, I don't even know if they're accurate, but it wasn't like in the novelty aisle.
I don't think they are.
Right next to the pregnancy test.
Oh.
I mean, and it was so, I mean, so it wasn't like sold, and it didn't say like, you know, for entertainment purposes only. Like, it was right there between, I don't know, whatever, the rubbers and the other thing, and then the pregnancy crap, and then the stuff. And it was already, it said a huge gender prediction test. If I knew somebody who was pregnant, I would just, I'd make them whiz on that thing right now, just so we could see if it worked.
Yeah, I don't know.
We must know somebody who's pregnant.
Do we? I don't know.
I guess not.
I'd be one of the last people they would tell, because they wouldn't expect me to, like, you know, be thrilled. So.
What?
Well, you know, there's some people that, there's some women that you, like, say you get pregnant, and you tell all your
friends.
And they go, that's awesome, oh my God, you're going to have a baby, that's so great. And, like me, someone says, I'm pregnant, and then my first response is something like, do you want to be? Are we happy about this?
Do you need a ride somewhere today, later on?
And then they say, yes, we're happy about it. And I say, well, good for you. Just stating. Because
yes.
I just, you know, I just don't get it. So I just go, yeah, go you.
So you don't really congratulate, you just acknowledge.
Kind of, yeah. Because I just don't feel the joy. I don't, you know, I'm a bad person to
you don't immediately start saying, like, oh, you have such a glow.
Oh, we gotta go buy tiny little boots and knit things.
I will say that I find pregnant women hot, though, in a strange way. I don't know why that is.
Because they're fertile. You can't help it. It's wired in your lizard brain.
No, I think it's the opposite. I think it's like you can't get them pregnant, more pregnant. And also, you know they put out.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? So it's like
a sign that they have definitely had sex at least once.
Seriously, no, it's like it's the absolute best situation because you know they'll give it up, and plus there's no way that you can get them pregnant again for like the next like 8 months or whatever.
Oh,
so it's so it is a no lose situation for you, for me. I mean, theoretically.
Let's do entertainment news.
Here's your entertainment news for Thursday, right here at Legion of News.
Two men were arrested near singer Joss Stone's residence in Cullompton, England, on suspicion of conspiracy to rob and murder her. The pair were reportedly found by police in a car with a rope, a body bag, swords, and plans to Stone's home. In a statement, Stone said she was absolutely fine and getting on with life as normal. She started the cable series The Tudors, and she begins a European tour in July.
I think the swords maybe indicate that you weren't really dealing with a serious threat there. That's not a thing you take with you if you really plan to get down to business.
During an interview with Playboy, Justin Timberlake talked about his love of marijuana. The only thing pot does for me is it gets me to stop thinking, said the actor, who stars with ex-girlfriend Cameron Diaz in Bad Teacher. Sometimes I have a brain that needs to be turned off. Some people are just better high.
Okay, well, who can disagree?
Two men were arrested. Oh, I already said that. Actress Dakota Fanning is the new face of the Marc Jacobs scent Olola. When we were speaking about who to use in the Olola fragrance ads, I had recently seen The Runaways, said Jacobs. Dakota was in it, and I knew she would be this temporary Lolita, seductive yet sweet. Fanning added that she's a fan of Marc Jacobs. Every time one of Marc's fragrances comes out, I run to the store to buy it.
A temporary Lolita?
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Well, I guess that means they turn legal eventually. I guess all Lolitas are temporary, if that's how you view
that's
it,
true.
I suppose.
Yeah.
Temporary Lolita. Temporary Lolita, midnight fantasy.
Oh, Lola. Yeah, that's what the name of the thing is.
Oh, you seduced another older man.
Oh, you. That's so Lola.
Don't do that.
I was trying to do like a That's So Raven thing, and it didn't really work. Crystal Harris talked to Ryan Seacrest on his radio show about her decision to call off her wedding to Hugh Hefner. She said, "For a while, I'd been having second thoughts about everything, so I haven't really been at peace with myself lately. It was all just happening too fast for me. I just sat back and thought about it all. Is this what I wanted? And it wasn't." Harris, who is 25, also added that the 85-year-old Hefner was actually, quote, "just doing this wedding for me."
Well, of course. I mean, that I think goes without saying.
Yeah.
But I mean, why would you not want to do it if you're hurt? In other words, you've already moved into it. You're already living in the Playboy Mansion with him.
Yeah.
He's already stooping you.
Yeah. Or whatever he does. At the age of 85.
But I would imagine that guy has like Viagra on a drip or on a patch or something just flowing through his body constantly. What is the dividing line here? Like, why not get married? You're already pot committed, it seems to me.
And the Playboy Mansion's in California, which is a community property state.
Yeah. I mean, and also, you know, Hefner apparently has been very, you know, he's been divorced twice before and apparently is, kind of takes care of those chicks for time and all eternity. So
maybe, you know what it is? He's 85. Maybe she found out that, like, you know, she would not be in his will. That he's already, like, divvied everything up.
Well, maybe.
Like, to like, all these other people, and she wouldn't get much.
Maybe. It's entirely possible. I mean, maybe that's it. Maybe she figured she was getting just as much without having to get married. Although,
Which is a cynical thing to say, I know, because really we all know that she probably is in it, you know, for true love.
Well, regardless, like, what does it matter whether she's in his will or not? Like, in other words, what does she lose by marrying him?
Well,
if she marries him, at the very least, you know, she has the chance that he would change. If that's the case, if she marries him, there is always the chance he will change his will. If she doesn't marry him, he's not gonna. So in other words, she stands only to gain by marrying, even if it's only theoretical. She has, you know, she loses by not marrying.
I know, but I'm just saying she's 25, so she may be throwing some kind of a pissy hissy fit and just going, "But wait a minute, I just found out that all your stuff is going to, like, your daughter and your other ex-wives. But what about me?"
Seems like,
you know,
throwing a hissy fit at a millionaire who lives in a castle is probably a bad idea.
Now, do you really, really think that these girls are just a huge brain trust?
Well, I don't necessarily think that they're stupid. Look, Hugh Hefner's offering to marry them and not me, so, you know.
Russell Crowe will star as Jor-El in the Superman reboot Man of Steel. Henry Cavill is playing Superman in the feature, which has Zack Snyder as the director. Marlon Brando played Jor-El in the 1978 film Superman.
Well, okay. I'm indifferent to that.
Yeah. Sean Penn will direct Robert De Niro in The Comedian, the story of a pessimistic stand-up comic. The pair previously worked together in the comedy We're No Angels. Robert De Niro, stand-up comic.
Okay.
HitFix.com is reporting that Liam Neeson, who played the villain Ra's al Ghul in Batman Begins, was seen on the set of The Dark Knight Rises. Ra's al Ghul was reportedly killed in Batman Begins, but of course his body was never recovered. Dark Knight Rises opens July 20th, 2012. And finally, I know you want to know what's going on with Linkin Park singer Chester Bennington.
I am.
Well, he believes that the band's next album will polarize music fans.
Is it going to be unlike anything they've ever done? Is it going to be like they're reinventing the band?
Yes. He says the music is great, and we're well ahead of where we're expecting to be. There aren't a whole lot of noises going on, but there are a lot of good songs. It will probably get a very polarized reaction, which pleases me, he says. As an artist, I want a reaction.
It's a way to check the fools who misunderstood.
Yes.
That's right. This band's always say one of two things. They always say, they always say that the new album is the best thing they've ever done. Then they always say one of two things after that. Either this album is really going to, you know, it's going to challenge people's preconceptions about what blah, blah, blah band is. You know, people are really, it's going to challenge any notions you might have that you think you know what we're about. Or they say, in a lot of ways, it's like our first album all over again.
Oh.
It's the other thing they always say.
Does anybody ever say, you know, it's...
It's crap.
It's the same crap we always do.
It's product that I'm putting out in an unchallenging fashion to placate my sheep-like audience.
You know all those other albums you bought? It sounds kind of like those.
AC/DC says that, actually, to be honest. AC/DC made some reference at one point to, you know, they said something about, you know, like, well, you know, it's just the same thing we always do. We're 25 albums on. There's no need to change now. And, I mean, who can argue with them? By the way, somebody says, well, what if it's an entire album of Kenny Rogers covers? That really would surprise people. That would polarize the audience, I think. A little bit. So I for one,
if Linkin Park
fully in favor of that,
did an album that was nothing but Kenny Rogers covers, I might actually listen to it.
I think that would be awesome. So I am rooting for that right now.
Well, that's all the entertainment.
All right, there you go. There's your... That was like when they asked AC/DC about putting out a live album, which I think they eventually did a couple years back. But somebody, for years, they were asked about putting out a live, and they go, well, what are you going to do, you know, live album? And they're like, when we learn how to play. So it was, they have no illusions.
I have an email here. Listener Tom writes, speaking of our previous story about the guy urinating in the reservoir, Portland water comes either from Bull Run, a lake in the nearby Cascade, or from any of several local creeks, most notably Wolf Creek. And then he adds, I can't believe that the Water Bureau simply takes the water in the reservoir and pumps it to our taps without treating and processing it first. A guy urinating in it is the least of the problems and is no threat at all. Urine is almost entirely free of germs. Birds poop and die in it. Leaves are floating on it and decaying. A little piss is nothing.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Urine is sterile, is the deal. Yeah. But it's because it's uncovered, there are animals just defecating in the thing constantly. Anytime you go by there, there's ducks just going on the top of it. And it's like that goes directly to my house. So, yeah, with apparently not even, don't they chlorinate it? They just, yeah, there's not even like a, it doesn't even have to go through like a fence of any kind.
Well, it's chlorinated in the reservoir there. It's already been chlorinated.
Yeah, but chlorinating it and then letting things poop in it.
Well, yes.
I mean, it seems like you're doing that in the wrong order.
Kind of, yes.
That's right. In Mount Tabor's where we had that E. coli scare a couple years ago.
There's a surprise.
My neighborhood's awesome.
A Springfield, Virginia man was hit on the head with a baseball bat and arrested on charges that he attacked a Stafford County man with a chainsaw. Stafford County's Major David Decatur said the incident began about 11:45 p.m. Monday. A 44-year-old Stafford man reported that another man was yelling and banging on his door. The resident said the man cursed him and told him to come outside. The man reportedly was upset with the resident about a woman. Decatur declined to elaborate. The resident said that when he took a step out the door, the man came from behind a bush with the chainsaw. He started the chainsaw and cut into a railing leading to the front porch, but did not injure the resident.
Wow.
The resident was able to get back inside his home and close the door. A short time later, the man broke into the home with the chainsaw still running. The man was screaming, and the resident yelled for someone else in the house to call the police. As the man came after the resident again with the chainsaw, the resident grabbed an aluminum baseball bat and hit the man in the head.
Where did this happen?
Springfield, Virginia.
That's not the sort of thing you would expect. I think that's a thing that'll stay with you for a while. That might disturb your sleep for the next, you know, like 50 years or so.
So apparently the guy fell out of the house and onto the porch. He got up and tried to come back in the house again, and the guy who lived there jabbed him in the midsection with the bat and just knocked him completely off the porch. The guy staggered around the yard for a few minutes, then got into his pickup truck and left. Deputies searched the area, found the truck and the chainsaw down the street. The man was gone, and they started looking for him. And then the next day, noticed that he was in the hospital.
Do they live on John Carpenter Street or something?
Oh.
Jesus Christ. Well, let's just go out on that unnerving note, ladies and gentlemen. All right. With that, we bring down the curtain on another exciting episode of Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Don't forget, you can get it later on the day via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here at Cascadia.fm or at Legion of News.com. The Rick Emerson Show is next at rickemersonshow.com. We come to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the milk packing district in glorious southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk, Dawn Taylor, advanced technology and magic provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Agler, chief of staff Cheryl Kanakoa. As always, we thank you for listening. We will see you again tomorrow, that is Friday at noon, for another installment of Legion of News. Until then, have a safe and satisfying Thursday, won't you?